Kyle Sondland and Herbert Konings are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Security Token Show. We're coming to you from our studio in sunny Miami, Florida. I'm your host, Herbert Konings, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host and business partner, Kyle Sondland. And before we get started, I would like to share a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by this week's sponsor, Relio Technology Limited. They're a blockchain-enabled issuer, fund manager, and technology provider focused on eliminating the barriers to invest in, trade, and leverage exclusive real estate, private equity, and other real-world assets through decentralized finance, DeFi. So Relio's mission is to merge private equity and blockchain technologies and provide much broader global access to institutional quality investment products that create long-term value and build wealth. The platform is driving adoption of security tokens both as an issuer and as a platform to enable other institutions to do the same. Relio has launched its own security token offering backed by equity in the business on top of a revenue share component to give investors exposure to the upside of the clients using the Relio platform. With three active funds currently in the pipeline, including a tokenized $250 million credit fund through a joint venture with Valentus Capital, the firm is poised to provide leading tokenization services for some of the largest funds in the industry. To learn more about Relio and the RST token, check out their white paper and pitch deck today at relio.fund. That's R-E-A-L-I-O.fund. Learn more.
Thanks again to Relio for partnering us with this episode. And for those of you who are new listeners, you should know that each week of the show starts out by covering last week's industry news, followed by the newest security token offerings and a breakdown of the secondary market trading report. From there, we finish off the show with our weekly main topic discussion, which this week is the stimulating topic of multi-chain security tokens. But of course, we cannot get started without first doing our Company of the Week awards, where we award two companies for making the biggest moves in the industry last week. And without that further ado, Herwig, who is your pick for this week, episode 87?
Well, this week, you know, I got to start off by saying tokenization, it's happening everywhere and in all forms. Most people in the world, they don't know about security tokens yet. Most people, they learn about Bitcoin. Some learned about tokenization from ICOs. Now it's NFTs. And I believe stablecoins will also be a big driver of adoption for the new digital capital markets too. So security tokens leverage stablecoins in many different ways, but they go beyond just stocks and securities. It's a payment system as a whole, which is why it will educate people about tokenization in a very big way, because payments are in all parts of our life. And that's why Visa is one of the biggest fintechs in the world and winning my Company of the Week. They've officially announced that they are testing the USDC settlement platform, giving huge validation to stablecoins as a payment and settlement solution. From their announcement directly, they say they plan this move to support crypto native companies. They say, quote, Visa's standard settlement process requires partners to settle in a traditional fiat currency, which can add cost and complexity for businesses built with digital currencies. The ability to settle in USDC can ultimately help Crypto.com and other crypto native companies evaluate fundamentally new business models without the need for traditional fiat in their treasury and settlement workflows. Visa's treasury upgrade and integration with Anchorage also strengthens Visa's ability to directly support new central bank digital currency, CBDC, as they emerge in the future, end quote. So, and they even acknowledge there that CBDCs are a coming trend and that they fully intend to support them too. So the takeaway, Visa is on a tokenization train by leveraging stablecoins, specifically USDC. Major, major news, I think, Kyle. Thoughts on this one?
That is just huge. This is fantastic. Obviously, when we're talking about these acronyms, USDC stands for US, and this is stable coin from Circle. So it's the USD Circle coin. And so that's their stable coin. And so that's really fascinating. Obviously, this is all blockchain-based settlement, which is something that I'm fascinated by and really gets me excited when we're talking about these markets. And then obviously with central bank digital currencies being leveraged here altogether, Visa obviously is going to be one of these huge players that needs to adopt this technology before we're really going to see these larger institutions come aboard. So this is super exciting. Obviously a no-brainer Company of the Week, and very cool to see them really jumping into this aside from just, you know, exploring it like we've we've seen from other large firms in the past.
Fintech and tokenization, it's happening, people. Visa now on board. How about you? Who do you have for your company of the week?
So we have some really big news that's still in super early stage, and there's not a ton of information on really what it's about to become, but I think that the potential is potentially limitless. And I just could not ignore it for my company of the week this week, and that is a partnership announcement between Singapore-based security token platform CapBridge and what is one of the largest crypto exchanges, and that is Binance, and that is international. Binance is huge, and the firm's announced via a Binance blog post that they have formed a non-binding agreement to build their first security token offering fully compliantly and using that language specifically. Binance CEO CZ said, quote, "By joining forces with CapBridge, Binance will be able to work with a fully licensed firm to broaden services, securing compliance with local regulations," end quote. And this is something that's been very important for Binance, who has been definitely feeling some regulatory heat here and there. But now they're really looking to explore these compliant offerings and launching securities behind their market infrastructure. There's not a ton of information aside from that in the partnership, but I do think that it's huge news because, again, we're talking about one of the main crypto hubs internationally looking to venture into the regulated world of security token offerings, which is certainly going to drive adoption for the entire industry over there in the crypto side. And we're really looking about how we can blend those industries together. I'm really not surprised by this announcement, though, as I do predict that more and more crypto players will venture into the security token space as they realize the opportunity there. But that doesn't change my excitement for that time to come. So congratulations to Binance for winning my company of the week for episode 87.
That's awesome. The first time this season, but the second time on the show, Binance reportedly, you know, one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world. Huge news whenever they get excited about security tokens in a partnership like this. That's a big step forward.
Absolutely. So very exciting. And from there, we can break into the industry news.
Well, let's do it. But before I do, you know, I want you all to know that all the articles we cover on this show, they're actually sourced from stomarket.com/news. And they're also available for reference in the about description of the podcast itself, wherever you're listening. Or you can always go to the Security Token Show Medium blog whenever you want to read these articles for yourself. Now, moving into industry news, the SEC issues a risk alert last month, and there's some great coverage by JD Super. They issued a risk alert regarding digital asset securities. So many people, you know, may see the SEC stepping in and creating clarification as negative, but this is actually a very positive and healthy action taken by the SEC. You know, the result is that with the increased activity revolving around digital asset securities, the SEC wants to ensure everyone is lawfully abiding all the necessary regulations and procedures and provide much needed clarity for broker dealers and issuers operating in this space. So if you are part of a financial services firm supporting digital securities in any way, shape, or form, it may be worthwhile to double check you are following all the proper procedures to a T. The article on JD Super clearly defines all the things the SEC is looking at, from custody to disclosure to asset management and more. And across the pond over in Germany, They've tested security settlement using blockchain technology, and it was deemed a success. So this test had participants from financial giants such as Barclays, Citibank, Commerce Bank, DZ Bank, Goldman Sachs, and Societe Generale. You know, we love to hear this because it's a great use case of blockchain technology for T0 settlement. That means securities transactions settle in the same day, usually within minutes, whereas in traditional equities, it can take as long as 2 to 4 days. And we're seeing more and more countries experimenting with DLT technology. It's only a matter of time until we're all on chain. Here's all the proof you need, I think. And in more regulatory news, the DFSA, the Dubai's Financial Services Authority, you know, the equivalent to the SEC, they've reached out to the public regarding feedback on a proposed framework for security tokens. So this brings me back to when in the US, back in 2019, reached out for public feedback. Here, the SEC did for their private exemptions framework. Kyle, myself, and many industry leaders co-signed and answered all the SEC's questions in great detail, which can, of course, be found on the SEC's website. And sometime later, they actually answered our recommendations and are now putting in an implementing some of our suggestions. So this is a big opportunity to help shape and form capital markets. If you're residing in Dubai, I highly recommend you do the same, as it goes to show your voice matters. And this is exciting to see Dubai positioning some, you know, themselves as a financial hub now for security tokens in the Middle East. And in news over in East Asia and Japan, SBI Securities obtained additional regulatory licensure, making them more legally compliant in regards to STOs. And it's a huge news, actually, because this newly obtained licensure allows SBI to offer security tokens to retail customers. So SBI also mentioned they'll be handling OTC secondary transactions as well that it has issued. And on top of that, they have a digital assets joint venture in Singapore with Swiss Stock Exchange, that's SIX. And in Osaka, it's planning a blockchain-powered digital securities exchange in association with SMBC and more. So Japan is surely becoming a security token powerhouse. Lots of great news from SBI. And more, moving into company announcements, Coinbase has recently hosted a Reddit Ask Me Anything session going into detail about the adoption of a security token on their way to going public. In an article featured on The Block, they noted Coinbase has decided against having a security token given that its infrastructure was just not yet in place and couldn't provide an opportunity to all investors, citing specifically institutional investors, not being able to participate in security tokens, and there weren't enough broker-dealers that could trade it to provide liquidity to the market. So ideally, Coinbase said that they wanted to have a security token that was native to crypto and could be treated like an ERC-20, as well as being used in DeFi and have all kinds of other features that, of course, many in the crypto investors space look for. But overall, it appears that CEO Brian Armstrong has long-term ambitions around security tokens and is seeking advancement in the regulatory environment to make security tokens more accommodating to the overall market. So that makes total sense to me. Right now, they need liquidity for a $100 billion company potentially. So the security token markets, they're really just not ready for that yet. And in more exciting news, we see a new liquidity solution coming to the US-based company by the name of Arius. So it's important to note that this is merely a matching platform for accredited investors only. Per their press release, quote, the platform provides a way for security token sellers to list their security tokens for sale, for buyers to search for listed security tokens, and for the parties to communicate directly. All buyers and sellers that use the Arius platform must be accredited investors, end quote. So it almost sounds like an eBay for security tokens, but exclusive to accredited investors, a very cool project and will be a great one to watch and see what sort of activity comes from the platform. And another new Securitize, industry-leading issuance platform and compliance platform for digital asset securities, announced the addition and promotion of key executive as the firm braces for its next growth phase based on increased client demand and significant new offerings that the firm plans to roll out. Congratulations to the new team members, including a new chief marketing officer, a new vice president of sales, a new general counsel, and a new chief operating officer. And they've officially assigned Scott Harrigan as the CEO of Securitize Markets. That's their new ATS that will launch later this year. So a big new executive team to help Securitize go to the next level. Awesome to see, and congrats to all the new hires. And moving on to some news from Onera, they recently announced that they would be joined by GK8 to deliver digital custody solutions for the P2P digital securities interconnectivity protocol. Within the private markets, trillions of dollars are raised offline with virtually no liquidity, and FinP2P seeks to change this, unveiling actually at the Security Token Summit last week their solution to provide an interconnected and unified routing network to allow instant and immutable transactions regardless of the blockchain ledger, or the custody solution or the settlement currencies that are used, they say. So deals on the FinP2P network will be utilizing the interconnected blockchain platforms at scale to create a simplified processes with items such as online due diligence, legal work, regulatory, and compliance processes. So it will be exciting to see how technology will shape the private market space for fundraising and beyond. And this is also very relevant to our main topic later today. And finally, when it comes to resources and opinions from last week, make sure to take a look at this week's edition of Tokenize This on Medium, where Peter Gaffney goes into the use case of tokenizing YouTube channels. So very exciting to see a strong use case, I think, within this space. And within a company such as YouTube, there's plenty of opportunity for the technology to be used. Peter notes that there's a $16 billion market of YouTube creators out there that could potentially be unlocked through security tokens, and I just love that. So this article can be found on the Medium blog for more information there. And the SEC's Commissioner Hester Peirce, or as the crypto community likes to call her, Crypto Mom, who also spoke at the Security Token Summit last week, mentioned there that people need to be careful with NFTs, as some creators are getting very creative with their sales and could be representing a potential illegal security. Peirce also acknowledged that the Howey test is not the best precedent for digital securities. You know, I wouldn't be too surprised if you saw some sort of new precedent coming out, hopefully maybe from the Ripple case or from the new administration, as we expect, Gary Gensler to be confirmed as the new SEC chairman. And in a great interview conducted by Securities.io, the CFO of Bitbond, Michael Pincus, who I had the pleasure of speaking alongside at the Security Token Summit. And for those of you who don't know, in 2019, Bitbond conducted the first regulated security token offering in Europe with a prospectus approved by BaFin. That's the German regulator. So the Bitbond ecosystem consists of three modules: asset tokenization, digital asset custody, and on-chain payment settlement. And Michael Pincus had this to say about the thoughts of the future of security tokens. Quote, security tokens and the tokenization of assets is the future of capital markets. Nearly every banker I speak with tells me that. Tokenization brings dramatic efficiency and cost savings to the financial markets, end quote. So of course, we couldn't agree more with Michael. It does seem inevitable and has been exciting to watch, you know, Bitbond grow in Europe. And solutions engineer at Circle, Allison Kaufman, also did an interview series as well. She helps internet businesses accept payments and send payouts with the USDC stablecoin that we just mentioned, which Circle is also known for as being a partner with Coinbase. And in the interview series, she goes to explain that her role as a solutions engineer is to help partners of Circle with API products for a variety of use cases, mainly using API products for payments, digital dollar accounts, and payouts. Allison believes it is a matter of time before digital assets are the new normal for people to buy, sell, trade, and invest with confidence using the SDC stablecoin, saying it's going to be a great gateway into the world of crypto for a lot of people, and I agree. Make sure to check out that one as well. And that's a full rundown from the last week. Kyle, what industry webinars we got coming up?
So it's a great time to remind all of our listeners that we host a breakout session for the Security Token Show podcast at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. The session hosts a diverse panel of rock star industry experts, and each conversation centers around the main topic from the podcast episode. Last week, we broke down the topic of distribution strategies from security token offerings and actually had fundraising platforms as well as lawyers and investors and fund managers and more that were able to join the discussion and talk about these processes and how they work. We also feature a 15-minute Q&A session to allow for the audience to ask some of the most dedicated security token minds anything that you want to know about the industry. Tune in each week to our Clubhouse breakout sessions, 5 p.m. Thursdays. You got to be there. Then moving on, we have to check out this video replay of the Security Token Summit. We talked about this before, but this is hosted by Draper Goren Holm. These guys are some of the best conference organizers in the security token space, and we had a fantastic event. This was on last week, a full day, and Herwig and I both attended the event. We both were panelists on different panels, and one was actually hosted by Keith Smith as well, who you may recognize from the Clubhouse. It was an amazing event. We had so much fun, and you definitely can check out any of those videos online on YouTube. Thanks again to Draper Goren Holm and all of their sponsors for making it happen. And looking forward, we do have two events coming up. The first is an event on NFTs hosted by Oasis Digital Studios, covering myths, markets, media, and mania from the industry. It's going to be hosted by George Solis, the CEO of Agoracom Investor Relations, as well as Alan Paul Silverstein, CEO of Imagine AR, and David Lukacs, the CEO of Liquid Avatar. And this fireside chat, as well as a panel, is going to be for anybody interested in NFTs. You're going to get knowledge about industry players, artists, talent, and other experts, and the attendees will have an interactive opportunity to provide a real-world view of the NFT craze, the reality of collecting, and what's next beyond NFTs. So you got to check that one out. That's April 13th. That's 2 weeks away, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Definitely check that one out. And then the other event that I have coming up is the FinTech Disrupt Digital Securities and Tokenization Summit. Learn everything you need to know about what is happening in the world of tokenization by joining this year's summit. You're going to hear from leading figures clearing the path for blockchain within the real estate sector, as well as gaining a new perspective on how established companies are renewing their businesses by introducing blockchain or tokenization. Herwig and I were both asked to speak at this event as well, so we're looking forward to that. I'm going to be joined on my panel with T0 CEO Sam Nursalehi, Polymath founder Trevor Kaverko, and DigiShares CEO Klaus Scanning. Herwig is actually going to be moderating a panel on security token exchanges as well, which is super exciting. You got to check this one out. 2 days, May 19th and 20th. It's going to be a great time, and you can actually get our discount code. I think it's 20% off in the link below. And that's all that I have for events and webinars for this week. Remember, you can submit any industry news or events on stomarket.com/news, and then we'll try to give it a shout out on the show. And we don't have any new STO updates, but we do have a new security token offering. And this comes from European asset manager Azimut, who has issued a blockchain-based digital security linked to a portfolio of 5 million euros or $6 million in loans to small and medium enterprises. Azimut has around 83 million in assets under management and a market cap of 2.7 billion euros or $3.2 billion. According to the press release, the asset manager cited the benefits of digital securities as greater liquidity owning for ease of transfer, as well as the ability to fractionalize ownership, increase transparency of the asset, and a reduction in costs. So a lot of these things we've been talking about, everybody gets it, the storm's coming. And the Azimut tokens were issued via the Disintegrate blockchain, which is a digital asset issuance platform, not a blockchain, but it is from Swiss bank Signum, which I'm sure you've heard of before, because this is now Signum's third tokenization following the issuance of its own shares as a security token in their recent $10 million funding round, in addition to Findwine Capital's basket of wines that we covered a couple weeks ago. And our final article of the week comes from the most consistent reporter in the security token industry. We're talking about Omar Faridi, who covered our real estate market report alongside Peter Gaffney's Tokenize This series in his most recent article featured on Crowdfund Insider. He keeps a positive tone and reports all of the developments in the industry better than anyone else in the space. Awesome work, Omar. Keep up the great work. And moving into our market trading segment, as always, all news and pricing data is sourced from stomarket.com. And to be quite frank with you guys, the market trading perspective, we had a pretty lackluster trading report this week as the market was pretty much entirely flat. T0, Overstock, and Aspen all traded 0% change this week alongside a fully illiquid market from Open Finance and the rest. I have a small update from Realty as I can confirm that those tokens have totally stopped trading on the Uniswap's V1 liquidity pool, and they have moved to a layer two solution that I believe is called LevinSwap, but I will have to do some more details and that breakdown on next week's episode because I'm doing everything I can to research it. But the short of it is that we will need to upgrade our databases in order to provide some pricing data for these tokens, and we don't have a ton of trades to report this week. So because of that, we actually really only had one token that really changed in price this week, which was Mount Pelerin, which is sharply on the rise after their announcement of a lot of great things coming. It's now up to nearly $6 after it was sitting around $2 for the past year or so. So there's a lot of great news coming from them on the horizon, and I'm very excited to see what they're up to. It seems like investors are preparing for good news as well.
Wow. It's interesting to see the market develop there, Kyle. And there's definitely a divide between centralized marketplaces and clearly decentralized exchanges, with the latter changing so frequently that I don't know if it's, you know, it's so easy to keep up with. But regardless, I know you'll be on top of it and we'll have more info back soon. And with that, I think we can move into our main topic this week, covering multi-chain security tokens. So the idea is relatively new, and I think it actually maybe a little bit controversial. So I'm looking forward to digging in. You want to give us a little primer on this idea, Kyle? I know you weren't afraid of controversy. I think you might even like it when you go on panels.
Yeah, I embrace it. But we have hundreds of different blockchains and implementation options in the industry today. And so think of public blockchain protocols beyond Ethereum, like Tezos, Polymesh, Ravencoin, Algorand, Avalanche, and now NEM, and dozens of others that have been very loud and active in the security token space. And on top of that, we have many more private solutions that exist as well, like Hyperledger and R3's Corda. With each one, they have very important differences, like its security, like the actual security of the system, the type of data transferred and the amount of data transferred on the blockchain, or even the amount of transactions per second that any individual chain can actually support. And they all essentially, at the end of the day, accomplish the same task, which is to record transactions on a shared ledger and allow for automation of many of the compliance and settlement processes by leveraging smart contracts. Despite this, we see very passionate users of each different blockchain who insist on one specific solution as being the premier blockchain that can solve all of the needs of the industry better than the rest.
Yeah, of course. And I will note that in the security token space, we've covered the benefits of a purpose-built security token blockchain in the past, as we're seeing with Polymath's Polymesh. And there could be a ton of benefits for customizing the blockchain to support the needs of securities laws, because there are many nuances that need to be accounted for, and they may not be relevant to the traditional crypto space. Immutability, or the permanent transactions that can't be reversed, for example, is considered a benefit for many in the crypto ecosystem, but clearly does not apply that much to the security token space. If someone steals steals or takes your equity tokens in a company, we can and should be able to rewind that transaction to make sure you're given back what's legally and rightfully yours. The same could be said for tracking personal information on chain. It's super valuable for a security token to track exactly who owns what beneficially and where they live, so we can ensure that the investor and asset is only available to investors in countries that have given that asset the green light. So we need to track that information, and each country's regulatory climate on chain, of course, is going to be different. So, this is a much more complex web of requirements that we can often see on traditional public blockchains. But for example, NFTs, ICOs, all these token types don't ingrain any type of regulatory considerations on the smart contract level.
Wow, that's a great point, Herwig. And I think I can add to that, that the reality is that there's no perfect solution in the market right now. And there may not ever be, due to the differing requirements for each issuer. Some may want the ability to support high frequency trading for their asset, which comes at the expense of some of the security features that may require a reduction in the flexibility of the assets supported on a specific chain. On the flip side, investment banks may want the highest level of compliance and accountability for their private assets, which would come at the cost of transaction speeds and public interoperability. In this way, many assets may seek to support different investor bases through different blockchain solutions, which leads us into our main topic today.
Ethereum has been the main blockchain used by asset issuers today, right? As it has the largest developer support and it's got the most adoption from different STOs. However, with other options like the ones we just listed earlier, we have this need in the market to connect them all together. The first iteration of this connection could be through data oracles like Chainlink, which take different on-chain data from all of the sources and connect it in one place so that, DeFi applications and other blockchain-based services can pull verified blockchain data from various different sources. From there, we have specific blockchain solutions like Polkadot, which aim to kind of be a blockchain of blockchains and seek to provide an on and off ramp for cross-chain transactions, aiming to connect them all by using this one single platform. Both of these solutions, they've been useful in solving some of the identified problems, but they're kind of just putting a band-aid over a larger problem, which is that we don't necessarily want to only use one option. As Kyle mentioned earlier, different chains do in fact have different benefits, and an issuer may want to use multiple different solutions to take advantage of them.
And this is where the innovation of multi-chain assets is born. The reality is that, especially in the context of security tokens, where we're talking about a financial asset first and foremost, we really don't actually care which blockchain asset is used to represent it. In this way, we have incredible flexibility in issuance to account for all of those needs, not only from the issuer, but also from the investor's perspective. Maybe an investor wants a Tezos token to be able to use on a specific application built for Tezos, or maybe there's an exchange that can provide liquidity for a specific country that only supports Ethereum. In theory, what do we care which chain it's issued on? The reality is that if we are transparent with our issuance schedule and organized with our transfer agent and cap table, these reissuances should be able to occur quickly and easily and allow for rapid reissuance on different chains. In fact, several issuance platforms already support this capability.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen reissuance occur from the issuer side already, right? BCAP and Science Blockchain both successfully reissued their shares through Securitize. Most of the hassle in that process was actually switching transfer agents and the compliance aspect of it, not the actual token issuance. And that only furthers our point here. If you can hold the compliance aspects of the asset constant, in theory, an issuance platform that supports many chains should very, easily be able to burn and reissue tokens at the issuer or investor's request, which opens up that new world of opportunities for a trading asset.
Yeah, I mean, a few fun examples that immediately came to my head were like, for example, an issuer launches a security token where 50% of the holders were investment banks and 50% were retail traders. In this case, the whales may prefer to have a private intra-bank enterprise blockchain to track all of their asset information alongside existing issued on-chain bonds, as well as other products that they may already be trialing on-chain. They know that they're holding this position in the company as a strategic investment for the firm and may be looking to have an edge on other banks as their competition and aren't going to be looking to trade this to anybody else anytime soon. For that selection of banks, they may have the tokens issued on Hyperledger and manage all of their transactions privately through their network. It's going to be a slow and manual process, but that's no sweat for banks who seemingly prefer it that way anyway, or potentially are mandated to do so because their operations don't support an Ethereum-based asset or management solution. On the flip side, the retail traders are looking to trade this thing quickly, but they may also be looking to stake the asset as collateral in a leveraged position or even yield farm it across other applications. And I believe there will be demand for an Ethereum-based token to leverage the entire DeFi space for collateralized lending, though, say, AV, Compound, Bouncer, and others are going to be adopting this as well, while there also may be huge demand to use Tezos or even Binance Smart Chain's PancakeSwap DeFi application. So there's all these different demands for all these different assets and all these different blockchains, and allowing these issuers to capitalize on farming opportunities across multiple chains using the same financial asset is a game changer, not only for asset management, but also for liquidity for the token itself. I've been preaching interoperability for assets worldwide for what seems like years now, and this is just another example of that. With more opportunities to use, trade, and stake an asset, you're just building a healthier ecosystem with more demand and flexibility for that underlying asset.
Yeah, that's very well said, Kyle. I obviously wholeheartedly agree. I mean, different marketplaces and applications will be built on different blockchains, and interoperability will be needed to leverage the coming wave of tokenized finance. The idea that a security token has to live on one blockchain is absolutely a myth. At the end of the day, the platform or transfer agent is ultimately responsible for managing the cap table based on these new digital transactions of ownership transfer. So I believe in the future, you may even select your own preference of how you are issued your tokens, on which blockchain. In fact, you can already do this on some different offerings. As technology continues to commoditize and become cheaper to implement, this will inevitably become an option. We've got 112 different financial jurisdictions around the world, trillions of different types of securities and assets, and billions of people all around the world that will favor different user experiences, benefits, and technologies simply because of the size of this industry. Inevitably, we will have dominant platforms and blockchains, no doubt, but nothing prevents a new entrant from coming up with a better solution, supporting a security token protocol, and becoming a competitive option that anyone could potentially upgrade to.
Yeah, I mean, just like with BCAP or Science, as we talked about in the past, both needed to upgrade into compliance standards that were developing over time, and it could easily switch to a new blockchain solution if it needed to leverage new benefits that they deemed worth it to reissue again.
Yeah, I mean, one day BCAP could have outstanding tokens on Ethereum, on Algorand, and on NEM. Who knows what they've actually got planned? I definitely don't know, but it's a possibility for any token issuer to do this. And I believe it's a distinct one, given everything we have just said, Kyle. Too many new capabilities come from interoperability like this. Token holders will eventually demand it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with that, man, we've really made the case here for multi-chain security tokens. You have anything else to add?
You know, just one thing to conclude on, I guess. I mean, this topic may already be a little advanced for some people. The important thing is that the interoperability can be made easy and possibly done in the background. So in the end, you may not even know, may not even matter to some people, and they may not even realize that blockchain, you know, which blockchain their token is on. Near instant transfer capabilities between chains through interoperability will make this absolutely possible.
That's just such a great point. A lot of this is going to happen in the back end, and the more that we can connect all these things together, the less that anybody on the front end is actually going to see it or have to interact with it. So those applications are absolutely going to win the day. And with that, I think that we can wrap up this episode. So get excited, because next week we've got a pretty big announcement. If you stuck around this long, the Security Token Show is going to be coming at you a little bit different. So you got to tune in next Tuesday to figure out how, but we got some big things brewing.
I can't wait for next week, Kyle, but please, if you do have any questions about today, this episode, please reach out to us on Twitter or LinkedIn. And if you're on Clubhouse, be sure to join us for the breakdown on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And otherwise, get all that latest market information at stomarket.com. Meanwhile, happy tokenizing, listeners.
Thanks for listening.